We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
You look at kind of where we're at, and we feel that we've put ourselves in a good position, and now is certainly not the time to feel good about that. Now is the time to push a little bit harder, and we have not a lot of games left here, and a lot of quality opponents. So two goals, obviously, is number one, you have to make sure you get in, and number two is to make sure that you're game sharp, so that when you're in, you're ready to go.
Mike Yo, they got Calgary tonight, LA tomorrow. And by the way, this is why this young man, Hellboy, is going to be one hell of a sensation as he gets older. Did you notice the dramatic pause he had after that one commercial before we started? That was brilliant. I like the dramatic pause.
Keeping them on the edge of their seats.
Keeping them on the edge of their seats and keep hitting that 105.1, 105.3, 105.7. It's brilliant. I think you didn't let it go just the right amount of time. There's just no argument. You know what it was like? That little bit of air there was almost like the air on all those balls that West Virginia was chucking up. Now you were working here last night, so you really didn't get to see the game, and it was like watching a top NBA team against a CYO team. It was unbelievable. I mean, we knew that they were huge, but if they wind up winning this thing.
Which they will.
Maybe. I still think that Wisconsin or Arizona has a shot, and I think Duke has a shot, but that would be it. And again, I'm talking about a shot. That team it's incredible. I mean, they could go down undefeated. They're certainly in the conversation, the greatest college basketball team ever. And they basically, what does he have? Six McDonald's All-Americans on this team. It's a remarkable team. 78-39, and it wasn't that close. 44-18 at the half. I mean, it seemed like West Virginia was going to have 2 points for the entire game for a while there.
It was just like the game where they played UCLA in the regular season. They started out on this massive run, and UCLA couldn't keep up with them. Same thing happened here. Kentucky's just too quick, and they have too much length on that team.
Oh, the length is unbelievable. There they go. They go 6'9", 6'10", 7 foot with, and again, they just keep, that bench just keeps, it's a wave after wave that they can throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
But they were 37th straight win, obviously 37-0 now. Oh, Bob Huggins sounding like Denny Green, except he didn't go after Chicago. They were what I thought they were. A freaking machine. That's the best defensive team I think that I've ever coached against. And when they're making shots, there's nobody going to beat them. It'd be really tough to argue that one.
And West Virginia was a team that was 8-9 against Big Dance teams during the regular season. So they had their fair share of games against them, and they lost most of them. So I was amazed that they even made it out of the first couple rounds.
Yeah, but the fact that they 18-2 was what the lead was at one point. Then they had they got the lead up to 26, and then they just complete dismantled them. And I'm wondering, if you're Notre Dame, which won 81-70 over Wichita State, and they were showing clip, they would go with the camera to these Notre Dame players, they just had to be in shock because this is what they had. This is the buzzsaw they have to face.
Yeah.
I want to hear the speech that their coach is going to give to them to get them keyed up for this one.
Like Notre Dame will probably be their toughest test thus far. They do hit a lot of threes as long as they're on. They have a decent presence in Austin down in the post, and then they turn up man defense, and they trap a little bit better than West Virginia.
But this team, it's like walking in, where do they have, what forest is it where they got all the sequoia trees? Or the redwoods?
The Great Redwood Forest?
Well, that's what it's like walking through. I mean, these guys, they try driving the lane. You can't, it's a waste of time because you're not getting a shot off if you try to go inside on them. Certainly not for West Virginia. And who was the kid that did, their freshman guard, Daxter Miles Jr. Daxter may want to keep his mouth shut in his sophomore year on if they're facing a real good team. He predicted that West Virginia would end the title run for Kentucky. And some of the Wildcat players said they wanted to win by 50, which they almost did, just to shut them up. Wow. It was impressive, and it was incredible. And at halftime, West Virginia had almost as many fouls as points, 14 fouls, 18 points. And there really was no hint they could do anything to cut into the lead. And I don't like, you know, I understand that they have to do it, but I was flipping back and forth between, you know, because one game started early, then yet the other one was almost at halftime, and you would be, you know, to go flipping back and forth. That Wisconsin game was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I heard it ended fairly sloppy on North Carolina's side, and they should have been able to close out the game.
Well, they made bad. They just were goofing up. I mean, they just couldn't. The one thing that was impressive is, I think it was 112-3 over the last 3 years. When Wisconsin had the lead in the final 5 minutes, they had an. And I don't think they lost the game that they had the lead in the last 5 minutes this year. And at the 5 minute mark, I think it was close to like one, but it didn't really matter because Kaminsky started off slow. But as he got himself going against North Carolina, it became. And Sam Decker had a career high 23 points, 10 rebounds, had an assist. They have guys that can step up. And that's what wound up happening. But this game with Wisconsin and Arizona, that's going to be a hell of a game, too. I mean, I thought, actually, as it turned out, it was far more entertaining watching Kentucky just rout West Virginia. But I thought that the Notre Dame-Wichita State game would be the best game of the Sweet 16 games. It was good. But the North Carolina game until the very end was, I think, I enjoyed more. But I think the Wisconsin-Arizona game is going to be the best of the Elite Eight games to get to, or the regional championship games to get to that.
Yeah, that'd probably be the safer bet. Arizona has a 7-footer of their own. We'll see what Frank Kaminsky can do because he started slow.
He really did start slow, but then he pulled it together down the stretch. He was much more of a factor than he had been. He wound up finishing with 19 points and 8 rebounds, but he missed, I think, his first 4 shots. So, and he wound up hitting 5-11, so he did get things together a bit. But then it helped that Decker picked it up with the 23 points and 10 rebounds. And they come at you with some height, too.
Yeah, they always, but they I always have be honest, some pretty lengthy forwards. They do a pretty good job of D-ing up, so that'll be a pretty good game. Arizona solidly built all around.
And I see them, I think that will be the matchup at the Final Four, that side of the semifinals, Wisconsin against Kentucky. But after seeing Kentucky last night, I thought Wisconsin might have a shot. And then maybe they still do, but my God, that team is unbelievable.
Yeah, any team can have an off night, but they need 8 to 10 guys to have an off night.
Yeah, and that's not likely. And also, by the way, I'm talking about the Wisconsin game now that's played out in L.A. They showed Aaron Rodgers. He was in the stands rooting for him, and Cal Ripken Jr., Billy Chris. He get all the glitterati out in Hollywood and California. They all come out. But that's pretty good although Aaron Rodgers probably didn't go there for the game. He's dating that woman from Newsroom. What the heck's
Olivia
her name?
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, thank you. And, so he's probably out there living it up out there with her. And he was actually, his seat was right behind the Badgers bench. And when it was brought up, you know, because they were asking about it afterward, and he asked Bo Ryan, you know, the coach from Wisconsin, about it. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Andrews, it was Aaron Rodgers behind our bench. It's not very funny, coach. They also, you know, that's the thing about coaching. If you've ever listened to some of these news conferences, the media thinks it's up. I mean, they over laugh when a coach does something that's even mildly entertaining, just to sidle up to them and stay on their good side, and just like that. Wait, I keep saying it. When is he going to come in?
I don't know.
We got to get the Schrei guy in. That's not bad. Schrei guy. Tom Schreier, 105theticket.com, writes for us Sunday mornings. Is on a wake up call. He's our I'm not going to say he's our hero. He's our guy. We'll leave it at that. And we said Notre Dame 81-70 last night, and you had Wisconsin 79-72 over North Carolina. That Notre Dame obviously over Wichita State. Kentucky 78-39. Did Kelly tell us she was taking West Virginia?
I think she was going to take West Virginia in the points.
The points.
I don't think she was.
What was the spread? 40?
13. Well,
because if it wasn't,
it was 13
she wasn't,
and a half.
Put it this way: if it wasn't 40, she wasn't going to win that one.
Yeah, I would have gone over.
Yeah. So it would have had to been 40 for her to win.
And I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but if you looked at one
okay,
side
here
of my,
we go.
If you looked at one side of my bracket, you'd be like, hey, this guy really knows what he's doing.
It's another side that's a killer.
Yeah, I've got all my four teams right on one side.
Well, face it,
and
it's the other side.
I can only get one on the other
Villanova's
side.
Villanova's the one that when you lose the top two seeds, that's crushing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people actually came out of that side of the bracket looking good. I didn't think Villanova was gonna, I figured they would drop.
Yeah, me too. I had Virginia, I believe.
Yeah, but I thought Virginia would go a little, would certainly get to this round. And the other game, Arizona Xavier, 68-60. I mean, it was certainly 34-3 for Arizona. That is going to be a hell of a game with Wisconsin, with those two teams, Arizona and Wisconsin. So it's it's a great tournament. Even if Kentucky does run away with it, it's fun. Just, well, can anyone? I'm not so sure. And what's the announcer say? I think his quote was, because I like, do you know where you're like, sure, he really said that? And if I'm mistaken, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, I think he said even the worst team in the NBA would beat Kentucky. I don't think so. I would put that team against these Timberwolves, which you could certainly argue are the worst team. I mean, many of the players on this team aren't that much longer or haven't been out of college as long as, you know, some of these kids are freshmen. Wiggins was a freshman last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying that at all.
Well, typically I would, in most sports, I would take the professional team over the best college team.
But not with some of these bad teams here.
Yeah, there's some terrible teams out there, and it'd be really tough to just dismiss it.
Yeah. You know, we'll certainly be talking basketball, and I also want to mention the Vikings signing. They signed 57-year-old Terrence Newman. Wait, is it 57 or 37? 37, right?
It's 36.
36. He's going to be 37. He's going to be 57.
September 4th.
September 4th, okay. So when the season starts. He'll still be only 36 when the season begins.
Yes.
Well, that's something. But anyway, you know what? I think we're all in agreement that Mike Zimmer knows the fence, and I think he didn't bring him in because he thinks he's going to be a slug. But then again, he didn't think Captain Munnerlin would be a slug either.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Munnerlin, I don't want to dog the guy too. I mean, it's not like he was terrible, but I think the expectation was he would have a much bigger impact on that defense.
Well, one of the tougher things that made it hard on him was Xavier Rhodes jumping up, so quarterbacks weren't looking that way at all.
They were
looking at Munnerlin and Robinson the entire game.
And that's what they were going after.
So it's tough to take on that workload.
And I think that Munnerlin, one of his gripes, and it's a gripe of all DBs, they got to get to the quarterback. They have to put pressure on quicker so they're not covering a guy too long. That does play a big part in it. If they can get more pressure, they're going to wind up being much better off in the secondary, and everyone will look better. So we'll see what happens with the signing of Terrence Newman. And we'll mention again, we started with this, the Wild tonight. These two back-to-back games with Calgary and L.A. are big, because if they can win them both, they wind up, well, first of all, they get the 2 points if they win, and those teams don't. One of those teams is going to remain in the battle for a wild card spot.
At least this time we get the back-to-back at home. We don't have to go from Toronto to New York. We just get to spend the night here.
If they win both of these, then I think, and I don't think anyone is really, it's just a remember in early January when it just seemed like an impossibility, but right now I don't think anyone is doubting that they're making the postseason.
No.
But this would certainly put an exclamation point to the fact that they're going to be in good shape if they could win these two games. 4 more points would be huge for this team. Depending on what happens, it might even lift them up into the third spot, because they're not that far behind Chicago. What are they, 3 behind or 2 behind? 3, I think.
Yeah, I don't think Chicago played last night, so I think it's still 3.
Yeah. So that, it could happen, because all those teams ahead of them have had their own little difficulties getting through things. But we've got a great show for you. Actually, we're going to take a break in a minute, but we're going to talk to Jeff Anderson. Jeff is a big shot Vikings executive. The Vikings just put in nearly another $20 million into the stadium. We'll talk to him about where that is. Talk to him about they got the new glass. I want to find out from him if any birds have met their demise with the glass. And our favorite new Viking, let's see if you remember how to say it.
Babatunde Ayegbusi.
Yeah, you were good with the Babatunde
Ayegbusi.
I think it dropped off a little bit for the last name again.
Ayegbusi.
Well, yes and no, because it's
what it is.
Much like Babatunde, it's Ayegbusi. Ayegbusi. Get it?
Ayegbusi. Yeah.
Ayegbusi. Ayegbusi. But anyway, we're going to talk to him, talk to Jeff. The next segment, talk to Bat. We got to ask him what his nickname is, because you don't want to go through the locker room. And I'll ask him. So when I see in the locker room, should I say, hello, Babatunde? Or is Babs okay? He's got to have a nickname.
I think he likes Babs.
Maybe he'll. No, I prefer Babatunde Ayegbusi. And apparently his His dad was an athlete too, and his I think his dad was from Nigeria, and his mom was is from Poland. For people wondering why it doesn't sound like well, like Sebastian Janikowski and Jason Maniecki and Chester Markle and Rich Zaro, the other four NFL players born in Poland. He's only the fifth if he and that you can't really count it until he actually plays a season or plays a game. And we'll talk to him about that. And he, I did watch some of the video. You seen the video of this guy?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I talked about, yeah, NBA against CYO. That's what it was like. NFL against like a youth football team. Anyway, we're going to come right back. We're going to talk to Jeff Anderson from the Vikings about the new stadium. And if you want to call and ask him questions, 651-989-9105. We'll be right back.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
State records show that Minnesotans spent more than a billion dollars on charitable gambling this last year.
Not counting the tribal casinos?
Right.
They bet it illegally then.
There was $100 million bet legally on the Super Bowl in the United States this year.
Illegal betting?
$3.8 billion.
Wow.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3. Powered by Smart Start MN. 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Hopefully he's not offended by this. Our special guest, our very special guest, Jeff Anderson, big shot executive with the Vikings. Jeff, how have you been? I haven't talked to you in a bit.
I've been great. How have you been, Bob?
Not too bad, and I, you know, your team has stepped up big time. Nearly $20 million more infused into the stadium that that the Wilfs are putting in. What now? Do you know specifically? I think there's a few things you mentioned, some Concord stuff or some you know some things for some upgrades. But it's that's a good amount of cash to be chucking into the pile.
Yeah, it is, and this is the ninth time the team has increased its contributions towards the facility. So since the design was unveiled, the team has now put in $74 million dollars additionally and a total of $551 million. So you know, our focus and the Wilfs' focus from day one has been providing the best fan experience possible. And as you go through the design and construction process, some things come along, enhancements, costs are coming in a little higher on certain areas. So the options are really cut or you know, put in some additional dollars, and they haven't hesitated to do that to this point, and I think that's great. But today's contribution, like you said, it's around $20 million, $19.5 million, and the money will be directed to a number of items, but plaza enhancements out on the west side of the facility, there'll now be a Club Purple deck, so a deck out of the west side of the stadium that will overlook downtown. There's some event level build out spaces for team personnel, like cheerleaders, mascots, the Skull Line, game day entertainment staff. So there's some other items, some back of house items that fans aren't necessarily going to see, but they're just as important to having an outstanding facility.
Well, Jeff Anderson, Executive Director of Communications for the Vikings. As each week, month, and year goes by, he'll be moving himself up the executive food chain. And before you know it, it'll probably be Jeff Anderson, owner /.
Okay. Yeah,
they'll give you a piece of the team.
Point, just like, I'm happy with my current position,
Jeff,
I guess.
Just like with Flip. You know, he wound up getting a piece of the team. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. Now,
yeah.
Now I haven't got, because people, I've asked a few people, and they weren't actually there, and I'm really concerned. When you put the glass in, did any birds run into it? Every bird in Minnesota is safe right now?
As far as I know, every bird is safe.
Thank God.
You know, we continue to have discussions with the Audubon Society and with 3M to, you know, to take, we take that issue seriously, but you know, one of the main emphasis for this stadium design was to have an open air feel, and that's what we've created with the glass and the ETFE clear roof, and I think it's going to be something that you know this market hasn't seen before, obviously, but it'll be one of the best facilities, most unique facilities in the country.
Well, Jeff, there is not a team at any pro level that worries more about its fan and the avian population than the Minnesota Vikings. I think that's safe to say.
add that to our list.
It ends with N. If it ends in AN, you're taking care of them.
Exactly.
Avian or fan, you're on top of that. Well, this has got to be a, you know, other than some other issues with the team, but off the field stuff, this has got to be a fun time for you guys. Because I drive by that stadium every day, and I look, and I'm amazed that it looks like if they worked through the night, they can have it ready by the start of this season.
Yeah, it really is dramatic, the changes that you see on a weekly basis. Mortensen gave us an update today, actually, and we will be at 50% complete officially at the end of March. So more than $400 million in work has been completed to this point, and 228 Minnesota businesses have already worked on the project. I mean, that really is what it's about, and 90% of the dollars going back to Minnesota companies, and to just see this stadium come out of the ground. I mean, to think a year ago, the Metrodome, there were still some remnants of the Metrodome on that site. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, I also saw that this weekend, the Star Tribune building will be gone or emptied, you know, because they're moving. And now, is that building, the entire building's coming down, right?
That's my understanding, yes.
And then, so how will it extend beyond that? Because then you're going across the street where there's a road and there's their parking lot. Is that part of the stadium grounds also, that parking lot across the street from the Star Tribune on Portland? Do you know?
No, this is the stadium footprint will include one block that was a surface parking lot previously. That would be a shared parking ramp with the Wells Fargo Towers.
But, okay.
Really, our stadium imprint stays, you know, in the Chicago area, but when you combine the 3-acre plaza with, you know, a 4-acre park green space, you can really do some unique things on game day, you know, pregame activities.
Now, Jeff, because you're a big shot with the Vikings, do you get your own brick, or do you have to buy one too?
I have to buy one just like everybody else. So,
well,
it's a conversation I'm going to have with my family and see if there's any interest in that.
I'm sure there'll be great interest. And if you're going to do it, you might as well go for the full 360 with the emblem.
I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't put the Vikings Norseman on a brick if
exactly.
I was going to do it.
Now, here's my question, though. Now, you have the 4x8, and a lot of them are 8x8 bricks. If you get mostly people, because if you're a Viking fan and you're going to spend the money, why not spend it on the 8x8? Do you have a certain number of 4x8s that have to go into this, or can they build it all with 8x8s? What if everybody wants the same thing, the Viking emblem?
Yeah, I think you know, there's some different ways we could do it. Right now, we're anticipating space for 12,000 bricks approximately. That's, you know, a combination of both sizes. I think, you know, if we had interest for 15,000 bricks, I think we'd obviously find the space for to fit those additional bricks. Because all of these proceeds from this program go towards enhancing the plaza. This is really the Stadium Authority's program. It was included in the legislation. And the Vikings, you know, we obviously want to use our marketing abilities and our distribution list to help promote the program.
Well, I'll tell you what, you may make more off of this than those e-pull tabs, because if you were to sell 12,000 at the 295, which is the mid-level, that's $3.5 million. I mean, you're going to make, they will make millions for this. That's a great idea, doing something like that. Did you, by the way,
yeah.
Other than the urinals and some of the and seats, how much of what was in the Metrodome was sold off? Do you know? I mean, what was the most popular thing sold from there?
I'm not sure. I think the seats were probably the most popular thing. I think they ended up selling more than 20,000 seats. And at one point, there was discussion about not making those seats available for purchase, just because of the process and how, you know, how the manpower, how would you do this? And frankly, some people weren't sure there would be that much interest in the seats. And there was obviously a tremendous amount of interest in those. And I think it was great that we were able to do that for the fans. But you're right, this brick program around the country, stadiums have averaged around $1.5 million in revenue from these types of programs. It's just a really unique way for fans to feel like they're part of the building when they come on game day.
Jeff, I got a new one for you. This will make billions. All right.
Oh boy.
Get a piece of paper. Now, I've seen that you could get like your name on a grain of rice, right? You put it on every blade of artificial grass. Somebody buys for a couple of $100 their name on one of the blades of grass, and you pay more if you're at the 50 or the end zone.
And then how often, I mean, what happens when your blade of grass is, when that piece of turf is ripped up?
Jeff, you don't talk about that. you got to go with me on this. You don't want to talk about that.
Hey, I'm all for creativity.
You bring it up, Jeff. I'm telling you, you'll get Employee of the Month again. Jeff Anderson, executive director of communications. That is a big shot title.
The fact that you can't even remember it, you know, makes it clearly it's not that important.
I was going to say executive director of communications.
There you go.
I just stammered a little, and executive big shot, that sounds better. And now we're going to, after you, we're going to talk to Babatunde Ayegbuse. Did I get it right?
Yep, that's pretty good.
What do you call him around the office now? I know he's only been there a day.
He introduced himself as Babs, and that's probably what we're going to go with here.
Good, because I was wondering if you see him in the locker room. Hello, Babatunde.
I'll stick with Babs.
Babs is good. All right, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. We got to get you on again. I love talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Bob.
All right, take care.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the Vikings. Terrence Newman's one of the latest acquisitions, but they also signed 6'9", 351, Polish-born Babatunde Ayegbuse. Up next.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
The Wolves and Wild both play tonight. We'll talk about last night's March Madness and lead you into tonight's games. And even more chances to go see the Minnesota Swarm 4-7 this afternoon.
The high-flying Timberwolves are in town. Stop by Hubert's and join superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, broadcasting live before every Wednesday home game.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will have Timberwolves players and coaches on the air, as well as our awesome ticket girl sampling North Lake beer.
Plus, Hubert's will have adult root beer floats made with Kilbrew root beer and North Lake beer on tap.
Wolves Wednesday, presented by North Lakes Brewing and Kilbrew root beer. Live from Hubert's, starting at 4 before every Wednesday Wolves home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're back. We are going to be talking momentarily to our new favorite Viking, at least the name, Babatunde Ayegbuse, 6'9", 351 pounds, comes out of Poland. That's where he was born. I'll give you a little background. He's coming out of a conference right now, or a meeting, and then we're going to have him on the line. But he was, as I said, born in Poland. He was a basketball player originally with that size. You can't be shocked that he would have been a basketball player at 6'9". I'll tell you what, 6'9", you've seen photos of this guy. First of all, I got the 351. If he's kept that down, he is enormous. I mean, his shoulders look like they go about 6 feet across.
I saw some highlights of him playing for the Dresden Monarchs last season.
Of the German Football League?
Yeah, and he was just destroying those tiny guys.
It was man against boy. It was like in the movie Blindside, where Michael Orr, you know, they have the shot of him going against these players, just shoving them up and down the field. And is that that is our guest?
We'll see.
We'll see.
We don't want to jump the gun there.
Well, we don't want to jump the gun at all. But anyway,
a little more composure.
About a few more. He was had 4 years or 4 seasons in the Polish American Football League. Last year, played for the Dresden Monarchs of the German Football League. And now, 27 years old, offensive tackle, left tackle on his team. My God, I'm looking at a picture of him. He is just, it is. He looks like, the best way to do it is, you know, you see these depictions of in movies of like David and Goliath, and then, you know, you talk about Gulliver and Lilliputians. He just absolutely dwarfs these other players on the field. I don't know how they found a uniform big enough for the guy. But he was signed by the Vikings. He said that apparently he didn't hear of the NFL until about 10 years ago.
Inconceivable!
Never played in college, and has only been playing organized football for 5 years. Now, the odds obviously aren't stacked in his favor, because he's suddenly going to be going against guys who are within 4 or 5 inches of his height. You know, you find the 6'5", 6'6", guys. But at his size, he's going to be the biggest player on the Vikings.
Are they looking for a diamond in the rough?
Well, and it's not the first time they've done that. And they supposedly he goes by the nickname Babs, which that'll help, because you know, when you're, like I said earlier, if you meet him in the locker room, you don't want to, yell out to him. But basically, they have access of about 15 minutes. For some people, for Sid, it would take them that long to get the name Babatunde out. Babatunde Ayegbuse. Busey. So we, like I said, we'll be talking to him momentarily. The fifth player to be Polish-born and coming into the NFL. The other one, the four, actually played in the NFL. But we'll be talking to him, as I say, in a moment. Now, are you working tonight? Are you going to be catching that? There's a lot of hockey tonight to watch. You got the Gophers going to be going against UMD in the NCAAs. You got to have the Wild tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you catch the hockey? It's a Friday night. You know you're young. Getting about boozing it up, aren't you?
Well, I'm really hoping I can get out of here by 7 o'clock. Depends on all the things that I do.
Because you're such
here.
A busy guy. Yeah.
I stayed late so I could leave early and possibly watch hockey and basketball tonight.
Well, that's the other thing. You have to get NCAAs on. I mean, you're going to be. You got to have. You may get some kind of cramping in your thumb from all the flipping around you're going to have to do.
I'll give the remote to somebody else.
Let them run it?
My fingers are very important to me.
For this show?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
and good. Tomorrow I got two shows to do as well.
You're doing, let's just mention those shows again. You're doing both of Pete Wagner's shows, right?
Yeah.
On the Ice at 9.
Yep.
With Chad Graff.
Then we get an hour off.
You get an hour off to put your thumb in ice.
Yep.
And then at 11, you're going to have the new baseball show with Pete Wagner and Al Newman and our guest yesterday with Pete, Gene Larkin.
Yeah.
One of the stars of he basically won the series for him in 1991 with his hit. Jack Morris got credit for an incredible, incredible game, and it worked out wonderfully for them. Now I'm wondering, because he may still be in that conference, Babatunde Ayegbuse, or maybe he hasn't converted the time from Poland, and he'll call here in about another 14 hours when it's 2 o'clock and whatever it is in Poland.
Well, I'll probably be here then.
Well, then he could talk to you, and you could tape it, and we'll listen to him again on Monday.
And talk about some hockey or something.
I wonder if he's ever been on skates. You put a 6'9" guy on skates, what are you going to be looking at? Seven feet easy.
Zdeno Chara.
He's 6'7", isn't he?
I think he's 6'8".
Well, now you're going to have to make me look, because I thought he was... He might be.
I like to do that. That way you do something, I just sit here and look pretty.
Yeah, well, you know, you're the one that's supposed to do this for us.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what about the young whippersnapper in there?
He's working hard, too.
He's just sitting on his ass waiting for the phone to ring. He's not doing much of anything. He is 6'9". So same thing.
Yeah.
So that puts him over, it's about 7 feet tall. Except this guy, if you were to put it this way, if Zdeno Chara had a twin brother and you had them both stand next to each other behind Babatunde, you wouldn't see the twin brothers. He's that wide and that massive.
Yeah, I haven't seen the 350-pound part. Putting that on skates would be...
Well, the blades would probably snap underneath your foot on the skate. Because there's no way he's only 351. I don't think there's any chance. I mean, he's got it. His size, he is enormous, and he's not fat. He's just enormous. I mean, like I said yesterday, Greg Luzinski played for the Phillies back in the 70s, and a Philadelphia writer had a line about you could hang a Rembrandt on his back. You could hang at least two, maybe three Rembrandts on this guy's back. He is just incredibly wide. He's 6'9" by about six.
Would
he's
like
about 6 feet
see,
wide.
Would you like to see him and Phil Lodeholt wrestle?
I might put my money on Babs. Because he's bigger. I mean, Lodeholt, I think he's an inch taller and like supposedly 8 pounds heavier than Lodeholt. And I don't believe Lodeholt's in the 340s either. I think they're both tipping the scales closer to four
like
than
Dave
350.
Dixon?
Yeah, the number that they give you, it's never the real number that they're throwing at you.
I'm pretty sure Dave Dixon was about 500 pounds.
No, but you know what's interesting, though? Remember Fridge? They had him like at 310 or 311?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Maybe one leg. There's no, but at that point, it was odd to have guys that were 300 pounds. But at the time, the Vikings had Curtis Rouse, who was in that 300 range, too. But you look at Curtis. I mean, he was 6'4 or so, maybe 6'5. And it was unbelievable how big this guy truly was. There's no way he only went that. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to hear from Babs. He must be in that meeting a little longer than expected. Babatunde Ayegbusi. And when he does call, we'll get him on. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Frank Pafko. If that last name is familiar to you, his uncle was Andy Pafko. He had a nice career in baseball, including he was the guy out in left field for the shot heard round the world. Oh, now he's, there we go. Is that our guy? You know, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Frank Pafko and or, I think Babs is on the phone. Let's take the break. We'll come back with Babs, and we'll get Frank on with us, too. We got plenty of time. We'll make time for both of them. But we're going to come back with Babs, and if that's not Babs, we'll come back with Frank. Don't let him get away. I'm pointing to him. You better pay attention. All right, we'll be right back with Babs and a Pafko.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's got to the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
This Sunday, the STP 500 is at the shortest track in the Sprint Cup Series, Martinsville Speedway. Tune in Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Love the music, but let's get right to our guest. Our guest, Babatunde Ayegbusi. And Babatunde, I've got just three for you. Yakshe Mash.
Oh, hey, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you didn't answer in Polish because I wouldn't have any idea what you said. I just know because Frank Pafko is going to join us in a bit, and he's from Slovakia, and he said it's right across the mountains, and he told me it's the same, pretty much the same thing to say, how are you, in Polish as Jakshe Masz.
Exactly. I'm fine. I'm actually great. Thank you. How are you doing, guys?
Good. You know what? People are a couple of reasons. They're fascinated when you were signed because I think people love the it's a bit of an underdog story, but born in Poland. You got a great name, by the way. And I do want to be sure. I don't want to take any liberties. If I see you in the locker room, do I have to say, hey, Babatunde, how are you? Or is Babs okay? They say Babs is okay.
Bob is fine with me.
Okay. But yeah. What kind of a whirlwind is this for you? A couple of years ago, you're playing the Polish Football League, then last year the German Football League. Now you're signed by an NFL team. It's pretty good.
It feels great, and it was a long way to stage to do it. But I'm still not satisfied yet, and I know that there is a long way in front of me to get on the team, but I'm willing to do great work now, prepare myself to the training camp and be on the team.
Now, then again, Babs, I hope you don't mean me being too forward by calling you that again. That's okay, right? You do like Babs?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me.
Okay. Now, Babs, you played left tackle, and that's Matt Khalil's spot, but when you played left tackle in both the German Football League and the Polish, what was the biggest guy you faced? How tall was he and how big was he?
And the biggest guy I faced was when we played against the national Polish team. We played against Netherlands. The guy was five centimeters. He's about 2 inches taller than me.
2 inches taller?
He was taller than me, and he was actually BS. It was still hard to knock the guy down when he had a hand above your head. Like, whatever you do, he's over you everywhere. So
you played a guy that was 6'11"?
Holy cow.
Because I saw some of the video. Most of the guys looked like they were about 5'9" that you faced. You faced some the smaller guys too, right?
I mean, you have to, from video, you probably didn't see it, but the regular size, they're pretty good athletes back in Europe as well. In Germany, we played against Austrian guys in Poland. Yes, working out all the time and trying to put a lot of work in on themselves. It depends on, you just see the video, but I think we should all respect the work they're doing.
Well, I'll tell you, and we're talking to Babatunde Ayegbusi from the Vikings. He's 6'9", 351, played for Dresden in the German Football League last year, born in Poland, just the fifth NFL player born in Poland. What I did see is every time, well, you should be proud of it. Every time we saw the video, you were just shoving guys across the field. It was like there's a movie, Blindside. I don't know if you ever saw that or not, with Sandra Bullock.
You know, the highlight tape got is the best what you did on over the whole season. So you got all of the best things. Like, it's not like you throwing 20 people all day long, but. I know there's a different level over here, and they're not going to face guys much bigger and faster and stronger than actually I am. Maybe not bigger than I am, but then there wasn't back in Europe. But I'm ready to face them, and this is the next challenge for me, and I'm a guy that likes to take the opportunities, and that's why I'm here. I took this step to get to the NFL, to play the coaches and the scouts like me. This is up to me to put a hell of a war to get on the training camp and get myself ready.
Now, Babs, will you play? Did they say we want you to stay at left tackle? Did they talk about backing up both tackle spots? And at 6'9", that's really big for a guard. What did they tell you they want you to work at? What position specifically?
I mean, we probably start from the right tackle, and to get together with the team, and we'll see. We don't know yet. Coaches didn't say, but it was like you're going to start from the right tackle. That's what I heard. So
okay. So. Now, do you have how are your feet? Do you have? I mean, because you obviously have to have quick feet. It looks like they're pretty quick in the video, but I mean, do you have quick feet that you're not worried about defensive ends getting around you?
I mean, it's not about being worrying about defensive ends. It's just time to get ready. I know I got a lot of techniques, but I'm about to work with the coaches that have the great knowledge and how to coach the guys. And I feel like I'm a coachable player, willing to do a lot of work. So we'll see.
Yeah, talking to Babatunde Buse, the Vikings' newest acquisition, 6'9", 351. And I got to ask, are you 350? I saw pictures of you, and I saw you on the field. You are not fat by any means, but you also look like, are you more than 351, or is that the number that you actually are? Because you just look like you're all muscle and massive.
I'm 351, yeah.
Wow, there's not an ounce of fat on you then, because you really are, I mean, young man, you're put together.
We all and the athletes over here, and that's what's going to happen next is we see who got the best nurse and then learn faster, because even I'm coming from Poland, and the knowledge of football, I guess, it's maybe smaller than the guys from college, from the States, but still there are new places, no place. That coach is going to put on us, and then we'll see who's going to learn it faster.
Now, Babs, you were a basketball player first. How good were you? I mean, could you have played professionally in basketball?
No, I played junior. We got a national championship on junior, and then first senior year was like your red shirt. So that was the latest I played.
Okay, but you were you good enough to be a professional? I mean, would that have been an option too if you had pursued that and not started football?
I mean, if you're an athlete, like I proved that if you're an athlete, no matter where you was born and what you where you are, and then what you're trying to accomplish, you focus only on your goal and you want to go forward. You can do it. So I'm here, and if I would decide to be a professional basketball player in Poland, I probably would be. I'm focusing on my goals, and
yep.
And that's it.
Now, did you? I don't know if they play both ways in the Polish league or not. Did you play any defense? Because you look like you'd be one heck of a defensive end too.
I played some special teams on defense. I was focusing more on the whole line.
I'm guessing they probably had you on the field goal block and maybe punt block team. Probably the field goal blocking team, right? An extra point block team?
Yeah, I'll definitely try that one. I like to rush as well, so we'll see, yeah. Why not?
Well, I appreciate it. Babatunde Ayegbuse, the Vikings, one of their latest signings, 6'9", 351 pounds, Babs, and you're going to be playing, sounds like, right tackle. You are a person, you're the type of player that people root for, because even with your size, you're still an underdog, because you haven't played in college, didn't play in the NFL yet, but it's a great story, and I really hope it works out. It'd be great having you on that Viking team and following you.
Thank you for having me, and I'm proud to be a first Polish American Football League player in the NFL, and we'll see how it goes for them.
All right, thank you again. Thanks so much, Babs.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah. I should have found out how to say take care in Polish. And I should ask Frank if he knows how to say it. He doesn't know either. But we are going to come back. We're going to talk to Frank Pavko, his uncle Andy Pavko. Played in the major leagues. He's had a pretty good career. 285 batting average. Played in several World Series, including winning one with the Milwaukee Braves. Played for the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Braves. He was in left field for the shot heard round the world. Lost his job late in his career to a young man named Hank Aaron with the Braves. And it's just it sounds like a great story. I mean, there are some great stories. And if you happen to have, and we'll talk to Frank about this, if you have a card from the 1952 Topps baseball card set, that thing could be worth in the hundreds of thousands now, and I'll tell you why Andy Pafko's card is worth so much when we return.
The only pure sports talk station in the Twin Cities.
You couldn't come up with any baseball theme music.
There's no such thing, right?
Yeah, there is. You got the Meatloaf had one with Phil Rizzuto, remember?
Meatloaf.
Yeah. That was him, I think. Anyway, we are joined by Frank Pavko, Frank's uncle Andy Pavko. There's a book out about him, Handy Andy, the Andy Pavko story. Joe Neese wrote it, and Frank was one of the sources for the family and personal information. Andy Pavko is a name that a lot of people may not remember, but he was there for a lot of key things. I mentioned when we were taking the break that played and won in a World Series. He was in left field for the shot heard round the world, Bobby Thompson's game-winning three-run home run in the great playoff between the Dodgers and the Giants, and he was in left field. And I guess let me start off with this, Frank. How come you didn't leap about 30 feet and make the catch?
It was a very high wall at the Polo Grounds.
And also, the short story about the game has been titled "Pavko at the Wall."
That was the radio call just before the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant.
It was Pavko at the wall.
It was Pavko at the wall.
And he also had, interestingly, he is the only player, basically in baseball history, with what's been termed an inside the glove home run. And you're familiar with this one, too, I'm sure.
I am familiar with that. That was late in the game, actually, in the ninth inning.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Cardinals. The fans were rowdy, and there were empty styrofoam beer cups on the field.
He was with the Cubs at the time, right?
He was with the Cubs at the time. He comes running in on a shallow fly ball. He catches it in his glove just off the ground. The umpire obviously sees it different. He sees it bounce into his glove.
Because there's all these white cups out there.
White cups. And to this day, most of them believed in that, their version of the story. Andy, thinking it was the third out, starts trotting in. Everybody keeps running around the bases, and the guy gets an inside-the-park home run.
Well, and I also understand that Andy started arguing with one of the umpires, and he forgot to call time out, or call time.
He forgot to take the ball out of his glove.
To show him.
Yep.
And that's why it's considered the only inside-the-glove home run in baseball history.
Yep.
But there are some great stories related to him. And he passed away in 2013 at the age of 92. So most of your adult life, you certainly knew this man and got to know him very well.
I did. I was born in 1953, so I was able to watch him play.
It's his first year with the Braves.
Some of my early memories are of with my parents walking across the parking lot of Milwaukee County Stadium into the stands. It was probably about the year I turned five, where I made probably what has been the biggest mistake of my life.
What's that?
It was before the game, batting practice. My dad took me down to the edge of the field, to the railing there, and we're talking to Andy. He looks over to me and says, "You want to come onto the field and meet the guys?" I'm 5 years old, shy. I grab my dad's leg and don't want to go.
Did it go out?
I did not. Now, 58, the Braves were the defending world champions. There were people like Henry Aaron, Warren Spahn, Lou Burdett, Eddie Matthews, Joe Adcock, Del Crandall. That was a powerhouse team, and I've been kicking myself ever since.
Well, if you ever get a time machine, you can go back. Now, you also told me, because there is his card from the 1952 Topps baseball card set is one of the most valuable ones. One of them sold, and we're talking like mint or near mint condition, sold in 98 for $84,000, and you were telling me someone offered over $100 for it, and the guy that had it turned it down. And the reason it has so much value is, and the Andy Pafko card was the number one card in that baseball card set, and with baseball cards back then, a lot, they didn't treat them, you know, with the way they do now. They put rubber bands around them. They kept them in numerical order. So the Pafko card, many of them were, the rubber bands would bend them and destroy them with the value of them.
Very important.
And you were telling me the guy who purchased it for $84,000 purchased it from a man who he had never put a rubber band around it, and just, what was it, recent before the auction, he had opened up the box. It was sealed for decades.
There, I think the Topps company had, and it was an unopened five pack of, I remember buying those, you know, five cards and a stick of bubble gum. That was put out on auction and unopened, and one gentleman, I think, bought it for about $15,000. He did not open it for a couple of years. Finally, curiosity got the best of him. He opened it up, and inside there was a mint, number one, Andy Pafko. Put that on the auction block to garner $85,000.
Wow.
There's actually been a Bruce Willis movie, somewhat forgettable back in about a decade ago, called Cop Out, where he is pursuing the person who stole
the
Pafko cart.
What do you know about that? Now, we're talking to Frank Pafko, Andy Pafko's nephew, and he gave a lot of background into the personal life of Andy Pafko, the subject of Handy Andy, the Andy Pafko story by Joe Neese. Now, what kind of stuff were you able to help Joe out with? I mean, after he played, or is it stuff that Andy told you?
A little bit of both. First off, it was basic family history, that the Pafkos are a Slovak. Grandma and Grandpa and the two oldest brothers emigrated from Vajets before and after World War I. Bought a farm in west central Wisconsin between the farming communities of Boyceville and Connorsville,
and
just north of Menominee.
He was born in Boyceville, right?
He was born on the farm.
Okay.
Which actually is the high school is in Boyceville. However, when he started playing town ball for Connorsville when he was 17. And then moved on to other family stories. The one, actually, growing up on a farm, all the Pafko boys suffered some injury or another, but Andy came very close to losing his life. One boy did. There was three boys whose job was to start the pot-bellied stove in the church before class.
Oh, my.
And one of the older boys didn't realize there were still embers on and threw some gasoline on the fire, which blew out. His name was Paul Urich. And